We're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 20. And as you do so, can I thank our minister for the warm words of welcome and for the invitation to be part of your special harvest weekend this year. It's good to renew fellowship with the brethren and sisters here in Bethel. And I see some folks from the Kingdom of Mourne, and we welcome them especially as well. We trust and pray the Lord will bless us today as we come around His precious word. Maybe I could just also thank you if I can come to another aspect of the work. I don't often get down these lengths, but I'm very conscious that Bethel is a good giver towards Let the Bible Speak. And we appreciate the gifts that come in to me and the gifts that come in through the committee to keep the radio going here in the West. And that is not overlooked. It is muchly appreciated, greatly appreciated. And we thank you sincerely in the Lord's great name. Trust you'll pray on for us as we have this project of a studio before us at this time. Luke's Gospel, chapter 20. I want to read just from the verse 1. And it came to pass that on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes came unto him with the elders and spake unto him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority? And he answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then believed ye him not? But and if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. And Jesus said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and let it out forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also, and treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them, and said, What is this saying that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 18. We know the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon the reading of his own precious and infallible word. Let's just unite our hearts together as we come to the preaching of God's precious word. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy presence already with us this Sabbath morning. We can say this is the day that the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're glad, Lord, we're found in thy house. And, O God, we thank thee for the reading of thy word. We thank the Lord it is forever settled in heaven. And, O God, we pray that thou would bring us even to this passage. And, O God, thou would close us in with this word. Lord, to that end, shut out the distractions, maybe of yesterday or the week that lies before us. And we pray, Lord, that each one will be conscious that the Lord is here and the Lord is speaking to our hearts. O God, we thank thee, Lord, for an opportunity to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. We pray that this harvest season there might be the reaping spiritually, and there might be the ingathering, and we might see the Lord building his church, even in Enniskillen, Lord, to thine honour and to thy glory. Lord, to that end, fill us with thy spirit and with power. Give us help from the sanctuary. And, O God, we pray that we might preach as thus, and thus saith the Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It is particularly at this time of the year that we have occasion to think upon the goodness of the Lord toward us all. He is the unfailing God who supplies our every need. Every one of us can testify we are in need of no good thing. Every perfect gift, every good gift cometh down from above. And it is right and it is comely to acknowledge those things as we seek to offer our worship unto the Lord. That goodness is in evidence, of course, not just at the harvest time, but throughout the entire year. And the blessings and the mercies of the everlasting gospel that God hath bestowed upon us is primarily worthy of our praise. But yet how sad it is when those same privileges and those same blessings are despised and they are rejected. That was true in the days of Jeremiah, for he is found to speak of the people in similar terms. They had to be described as those who had a revolting and a rebellious heart. And what follows is how they despised the goodness of the Lord. Let me read a verse to you from Jeremiah 5 and verse 24. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. And there is something of the goodness of the Lord. And it is in the eastern setting, of course. And there was two particular times of the rain. Just after the seed was sown. And then just before the harvest was to be gathered in. And the Lord was to give the early and the latter rain. And he also appointed the weeks of the harvest. And yet the people, there was not one that would say, let us now fear the Lord our God. That is also much in the teaching of the Savior in this passage that we've read today. It ought to be borne in mind that here is one of very few parables that is also found in its entirety in two of the other Gospels. And so this threefold repetition ought to enforce upon us the importance of what the Savior was teaching not only to the Jewish people, but also to our own hearts this morning. The preaching of Christ was direct. It was powerful. And every word seemed to be like an arrow to the hearts of the hearers. And notice that even though he spoke in the form of a parable, yet its meaning was clear and its message was understood. For we read in verse 19 that the scribes and the chief priests, they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. In the words of Isaiah 58 and 1, the Lord was to cry aloud and spare not. He lifted up his voice like a trumpet and showed their people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And the parable which he used to do that is known as the wicked husbandman or the parable of the vineyard. The backdrop to it is this. The owner was to let out that vineyard to husbandmen while he went into a far country for a prolonged time. At each harvest season, there was his expectation that he might receive the fruit that was born in that vineyard. But it was to no avail. Because what we have here is a picture of those who are privileged but perishing. And it has a warning this harvest season to those who continue to sit under the preaching of the gospel of saving grace and yet this morning are yet Christ rejectors. Does that describe you? I want you to see first of all with me, really dealing with verse 9 through to verse 18, I want you to notice the depravity of man. The vineyard in question is the planting of its owner. But during its absence, we're confronted with the character of the husbandmen who were to look after it and who were to attend that vineyard. In the corresponding accounts in the other Gospels, there are the added details. If I can bring you to Matthew's account in chapter 21 and verse 33, we read this. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and digged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built the tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And that verse indicates some additional notes that we haven't got in Luke's account.
For example, the owner was to surround it with a hedge. That was so in order to keep out the undesirables. He was also to build a tower in that vineyard. In other words, everything, including the wine press, everything that was needed was in place. And there was no excuse for the vineyard not to bring forth fruit and the harvest in the season. Especially so as because he had left in charge of it those who were skilled and been able to look after it. But what we see instead in these husbandmen is corruption. For instead of bringing forth fruit unto their master and unto the owner of the vineyard in due season, there was that selfish spirit within them that desired and planned to keep the produce for themselves. It was to the nation of Israel that the Lord was to be speaking at this time. We read in verse 9, it was unto the people. And they had every privilege necessary for a good harvest. They were blessed above all nations of people. God had brought them out of Egypt. God had planted them in the land of Canaan. God had surrounded them, if you like, with a good hedge. Even the giving of the law of God to protect them from the sins and from the iniquities of the heathen nations that were round about them. He had given them the house of Aaron and the Levites in order to watch over them as priests. And as Levites, every possible encouragement had been given to them to bear forth fruit unto God. But what was forthcoming was nothing but a corrupt nature and a selfish spirit that desired to forget about their rightful owner and to satisfy flesh. Dear people, that is a picture of the natural heart of every man. Despite the greatest of gospel privileges of having the Word of God, which is able to make you wise unto salvation, despite God erecting barriers on our pathway to a lost eternity, the barriers of God's law, the barrier of the cross of Calvary, instead of bearing spiritual fruit unto God, there is the rebellious and there is that wicked heart that cries out, I will not have God rule over me. My life is my own, and I will do whatever I want with it. Is that your spirit this morning? Furthermore, you'll see that the contempt is noted of these husbandmen and what they displayed. The owner was to send forth his servants at the appropriate season, verse 10. At the season he sent a servant to the husbandman that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But we read on and you read of how they were treated with contempt. We read in these verses how the husbandmen were to be beaten. How they treated them shamefully. How they wounded them. And how they sent them away empty. Men and women, you come back in the scriptures for a little moment, and do you not see that illustrated even in the Old Testament scriptures? Jeremiah was smitten. Micaiah, that uncompromising servant who would only speak the word that the Lord had given to him as he stood before Ahab, he was beaten, he was smitten. Zechariah was stoned. You see, they didn't want these servants of the Most High to come looking for fruit that would show that they were the trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord. They despised the message of the Lord and they treated it with contempt. Such was the picture that the Lord was presenting here unto this people. The Lord, their God, their Maker, and their Creator was only desiring what was rightfully His from their own hearts and from their lives. He sent messengers to bring them the message that would enable them to do that, to walk in the ways of the Lord, and to live lives that were pleasing unto Him. But no fruit was born unto God. His messengers faithfully preached the message. They had wrought signs and wonders amongst the people. God had demonstrated His almighty power, but all was treated with contempt, with the messengers shamefully treated. Men, my friend, you might say to me this morning, well, we haven't killed any of God's messengers. But it could be that you've refused the message that they have preached. You have treated the word of God with contempt. It could be that I'm preaching to someone this morning, maybe a farmer, maybe someone else, and another harvest season has come around, and God has evidently blessed you. And yet this harvest time, the word of God is yet a closed book where you are concerned. Your contempt is just like that of the Jews. They didn't want to be reminded of their duty before God. They desired to have God's voice silenced. And everything that you do is designed for self and not toward the Lord. You notice that the depravity of them was the climax in the killing of the owner's son. Verse 13 then said, "The Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him." Verse 15, so they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. The last representative of the owner sent forth was his only beloved son. Men and women, that can only speak to us of one. It speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. For in these last days, God has spoken unto us by His Son. God has nothing more to say unto Israel. He's nothing more to speak unto the Gentile nations other than what He has said through the Lord Jesus Christ, His beloved Son. He has given His complete revelation. You have it in your lap this morning. How can we know the Father but through His beloved Son? And it was Christ who came unto His own, but His own received Him not. They, just like this parable, were to despise Him in their hearts. They were to cast Him out of the vineyard. They were to put Him out of Jerusalem. And they were to crucify Him there on that Roman gibbet. That is enough for us to realize that the carnal mind is enmity against God. And the nature of man's heart is depraved to the point where it would seek to cast out anything that reminds him of our God and our Creator. I don't often listen to the radio, especially to Nolan. But I even heard this week, "Don't want the Bible in the courts. Don't want to recognize that there's a higher power and have to swear over the Bible." You see, that's the fruit of a godless society. They don't want to be reminded about God. Let me ask you, is God in His rightful place as King of your heart and of your life? Are you bearing forth fruit unto His glory? Is your chief end to enjoy, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever? The depravity of man. But you know, there's something else here. There's the dealings of God. But throughout these verses, we cannot but notice the manner in which the owner was to deal with this husband, with these husbandmen. There was in his part the expectation of a harvest. To that end, he was looking for fruit. From that which belonged to him, he was looking for fruit. And that is why he sent his messengers. That is why, even though he's in a far country, he still had a care for his vineyard. We can readily make the same application to ourselves, for that which God is looking for is the fruit of His Spirit. It is a fruit of service unto Himself. Not pleasures and seeking after the comforts of this world. The purpose of the Lord in salvation is that we might bear forth fruit. And that a fruit that should remain. And dear believer, we would remind each of our hearts this morning that we no longer belong to this whole world. We no longer belong to the prince of this world. And so therefore we should not be serving the devil or the things of the world. No man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
And you know, that's nothing new, because it was something that Paul had to challenge the believers in the church of Corinth about. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As God looks for fruit in your life and in my life, what does he see? Is it disappointing, just as it was here with Israel? For they were like the barren fig tree that had a display of the leaves, but when the Savior looked for the fruit, there was nothing. Just an appearance of fruit. Or does he see fruit that is of God's Spirit? Does he see that Christ-likeness that is well-pleasing unto him? The manner in which the owner dealt with his husbandmen was also one of being long-suffering. He sent the first servant. He was beaten, sent away back empty. But notice that he sent another and another. Both again were treated shamefully and were to return without any evidence of fruit. And each time there's harsh treatment, and each time there's disappointment, as far as expectation of fruit from the vineyard was concerned. But each time it must speak to us of the patience and of the long-suffering of the owner. Yet as the Lord spoke these words, that was how God dealt with Israel. There was his long-suffering, there was his patience. For as messengers were sent, and as they were rejected, and as Israel turned away from God, and they turned unto the heathen gods and the false idols, yet the Lord was to deal with them in mercy. For when they cried by reason of their bondage or their afflictions, he heard their cry, and he sent them deliverers, and he sent them other messengers. And what we have in this parable is a picture of the dealings of God with many a heart. Prophet after prophet, preacher after preacher has been sent. Warning after warning has been given. Insult after insult has been received in return. And yet God in his mercy has not turned away. But he has been long-suffering. And he has sent seasons of refreshing to his church. He has raised up ministers. He has raised up servants to do his work and to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And dear people, I trust that you are praying that God would continue to do so. For I tell you, the Lord needs to touch young men's hearts to raise them up to fill our pulpits and our denomination in time to come. The harvest is already white. Laborers are few. And we need young men set apart, called of God, prepare their hearts and themselves to go into the college and to preach the gospel. God has been long-suffering. He has sent the seasons of refreshing. Truly we can say, he hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor awarded us according to our iniquities. For I tell you, we feel the Lord often, haven't we? Both collectively as a church, aye, and as individually. Yet the Lord hasn't cast us off. Dear believer, we have nothing to boast in save the cross of Christ. And we ought to be ever thankful of the patience and the long-suffering of our God toward us. And you know, only in that great and final day will our eyes be fully opened to see that God delighteth in mercy. Mercies before our conversion. Mercies after our conversion. Mercies every step of our earthly journey to heaven and to home. And it will only be then that
that we will fully know the import of 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. And the usward refers to what follows in that verse. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the us word. And if that is so with the believer, and God has been patient and long-suffering with us, just as the husbandman has to be long-suffering with the crops, and how much more so is the long-suffering of God being an evidence to the unsaved? Dear unsaved loved one, this morning let me remind you of Romans 2 and 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Do you despise that? You notice that the owner's dealings is one of love. They abused and wounded His servants. They sent them away empty. Yet the owner still sent His beloved Son. Verse 13 then said, "The Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved Son. It may be they will reverence Him when they see Him." Men and women, that can only speak to us of the love of God. God the Father knew how they would treat His Son. Yet He still sent them. Such was His love for a lost and for a dying and for an undeserving people. And so when the fullness of time was come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. In this harvest season, the love of God is in evidence in His bountiful provision, that which is in some part displayed before us this morning. But you know, dear people, it is but a pale reflection of His love in sending His beloved Son so that He might purchase eternal redemption for His people. And that God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me ask you a question this morning. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I don't know if you're saved or not. The Lord knoweth them that are His. I address that question to you who are not. What will you do with Jesus this harvest time? God has been merciful to you. He has permitted you to see another October, when you could have been in a grave and you could have been in a lost sinner's eternity. What do you want to do with Christ this morning? As God in His mercy and by His Spirit deals with your heart. And one final thought, and it is the destruction of the rejecter. You see, the question is asked in verse 15, "What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them?" A response there was going to be. And so there will be a response toward those who reject Christ and who abide in sin and in their wickedness. You want to know what that response will be? Let me show it to you. First of all, there will be the return of the Lord. Verse 16, "He shall come," the Lord speaking prophetically. "He shall come." He has gone away into a far country for a time. But the day is hastening on when he shall return. And when he comes again, it shall be in all power and all glory. And every enemy shall be made a footstool. Every soul will be brought into subjection. Every mouth must proclaim he is Lord. I want to remind you, dear loved one, this morning, whether you believe there's a God or not, whether you believe that you need to be saved from your sins or not, listen, the Lord is coming back. And he's coming back to set up his kingdom and to reap the final harvest of this world, when the sickle will be thrust in, and those who refused his messengers, and those who refused the message of saving grace, will be cast into the great winepress of his wrath. Let me show it to you. You turn over to Revelation chapter 14. Here's the final harvest. Revelation 14, verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the wine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. See that word ripe, or fully ripe? It really means they're swollen, and they're bursting in rejection of God. They're just fit for judgment. And the angel thrust in a sickle into the earth and gathered the wine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. The day of his wrath is fully come. Who shall stand? The unrighteous shall not stand with the godly. The word winepress that is used in verse 19 is the same word that's used concerning the parable of the vineyard that I read to you at the very start from Matthew's Gospel. Notice that this destruction is noted in that there is the removal of the privileges and of the message of hope. Not only is the return of the Lord, but there's a removal of the privileges. That's how the Lord described it in the words of verse 16. He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. Again, I believe there's a prophetic note in that, for within a very short time, Jerusalem would be destroyed. The nation of Israel were to be scattered to the four winds of the earth, and the blessings and the privileges of the gospel were to be given unto the Gentiles. And when the gospel was preached to the Gentiles, there was the fruit of repentance born unto God. Hence the reason why, if you come back just into Luke 19 and verse 41, that you have a most graphic picture of the Lord standing over the city of Jerusalem and he's weeping. The sense is he's wailing. When he has come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. And shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They knew the Lord's visitation. They knew the Lord of glory walking through the city. They knew his power been demonstrated. They heard his preaching. And yet they despised it. The day of their peace. And the Lord weeps over them. For soon the enemy would come in. And the privileges would be given unto the Gentiles. I want you to understand, your soul, if you continue to reject Christ, You sin away the day of His grace to your soul, and you harden your neck against the gospel message, which is your only hope. Then God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man, and He can remove His Spirit. And we would say, like the people said here in verse 16, God forbid. God forbid that He would remove His Spirit from striving with your heart, dear sinner. For if God removes the striving of His Spirit on your soul, then you're as good as lost for all eternity. I wonder this morning, are you troubled? I wonder, are you uncomfortable under the preaching of the Word? Let me remind you, I didn't do that. Preacher cannot cause an anxious thought. That's God working in your soul. It's the day of God's grace to you. And behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of God's salvation. You'll notice the ruin of the sinner here. What is the outcome of the owner's visit? We read it in verse 16. He shall destroy the husbandmen. The literal meaning is, they shall perish. A people who are privileged, but who perish. And that ruin is complete. If you consider the wording of verse 18, the stone which the builders rejected is become the chief cornerstone. And in whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind them to powder. And that stone cut out with their hands is one day to fill the whole earth. That stone is Christ. Daniel chapter 2. That stone is Christ. Dear soul, what will your end be? Will it be any different to these to whom the Lord was speaking? And they knew it, you know. They knew it because they were able to say that this parable was spoken against them. What will your end be in that great and final harvest that is yet to come? For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. To sow a life of sin will one day reap a whirlwind of God's wrath and judgment. To you who have rejected Christ, I wonder this morning, will you give the Lord His due place and honor today? Aye, right now. Because you or I are not guaranteed the rest of today. Will you give Him His due honor and place as He comes and as He whispers in your heart, listen, my son, give me thine heart. That's it. May God help you to attend unto His Word this morning. And I pray that you would come in repentance and in faith unto Christ. And be saved for His glory's sake. Amen.
Let's have a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy precious word to our hearts this day, the challenge of it. And O God, we do pray that you would help us to be a fruitful vine. And O God, that day by day in our Christian lives that we will bear fruit for Christ. But Lord, we pray for those that are not saved in this meeting, that they will not continue to reject the message of the gospel one more minute. But, O God, even this Lord's day, that they will realize that the coming of the Lord draws nigh. We thank Thee for Thy grace and for Thy mercy and for Thy provision in Jesus Christ, that He is the Savior of the world. O God, I pray for those in this meeting who up until this moment have rejected the Son, that they will reject Him no more. And even in this harvest service, that there might be those who will come to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Reveal unto them their need. Reveal unto them that time is short. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Oh God, how they need to be in time. Be in time, be in time. While the voice of Jesus calls them, Lord, help them to be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Oh God, show them today that they must be in time. For now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Hymn 251 in the hymn book is our closing hymn. The Lord has spoken through His word today to all of our hearts. Maybe there's someone here and you're not saved, and the Lord again has spoken to you. We believe He has. My friend, you need to make your peace with God. And you need to make your peace with God today. If you'd like to speak to Reverend Patterson or myself, we're here as God's servants. We can't save you, but we can certainly point you to the one who can save you. But don't leave the meeting today without Christ. Come and seek the Lord. Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throne. Look at verse 4. Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death in delay. It is possible to get so familiar with listening to the gospel that it just goes over the top of your head, because you always believe there's going to be another harvest. There's going to be another Sabbath. There's going to be another opportunity. Friend, the day is coming when harvest for you and me will be over. Opportunities for you and me will be gone forever and forever. That's why you need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come to Christ today. Let's stand and think of the words of this lovely hymn as we sing it. 251.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we pray that you would take away the hardness of men's hearts. Give them hearts of flesh today. We pray, Lord, that you would draw them to the foot of the cross. We thank thee that there is mercy with the Lord. There's plenteous mercy with the Lord. And we praise thee for the love of God in Christ, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, we praise thee for the wonderful promise, the eternal promise that is contained in the message of the gospel, that the sinner today can have eternal life, everlasting life in Christ is to be found for all of those who come and put their trust in him. Lord, give grace today. We thank thee for thy word. Bless it to the saving of precious souls. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.